This is Plant-Based Briefing, building muscle on a plant-based diet, the best foods and nutrients to eat. Part 1 by Ocean Robbins at foodrevolution.org. And I'm Marian Erickson. This is the Plant-Based Podcast where I curate, get permission, and narrate a variety of articles on plant-based and vegan living in about 10 minutes or less every weekday. And today's is longer than that, so it's a two-parter. I'm reading part 1 today and then tune back in tomorrow for the second half. So now let's get to today's Plant-Based Briefing. Building Muscle on a Plant-Based Diet, the Best Foods and Nutrients to Eat, Part 1 by Ocean Robbins at foodrevolution.org. Summary: strong muscles aren't just for athletes, bodybuilders, and actors in superhero movies. Building and maintaining muscle mass as you age is critical for your overall health. Aside from the obvious benefit of being able to move your body, strong muscles can protect against metabolic disorders and even lower the risk of dementia. So what are the ways to build muscle? What's the role of exercise and food? And is it really possible to get and stay strong if you don't eat animal products? The average American pro football player retires at age 27, just over 4 years after starting in the NFL. If you've ever watched a game or played tackle football, you probably understand why. That constant and intense contact sport takes its toll on the human body. And then there's Tom Brady, the twice-retired quarterback widely regarded as the best player to ever play the game, with 7 Super Bowl wins to his credit. Brady's latest retirement came at the age of 45, 23 full seasons after getting chased, hit, and slammed to the turf by the world's most scary 6'3", 310-pound opponents. In addition to genetic explanations or just plain luck, there's a third and most likely possibility as to how Brady pulled this off. Since 2004, Brady has been eating an entirely whole food diet that's largely plant-based, which has allowed him to maintain muscle mass and recover quickly from injuries. So what's the connection between diet and muscle health? What about Brady's diet in particular contributed to his health and career longevity? And also, if you're not a professional athlete, why should you care about building and maintaining muscle mass as you go through life? Let's tackle that last question first. Why building muscle is important for good health? Strong muscles are important for everyone, even if you're not an athlete, bodybuilder, or your family's designated jar opener. Being strong allows you to support your body in various situations and positions and allows you to perform essential movements like lifting, gripping, bending, and pulling. Stronger muscles produce stronger bones and joints, which can help prevent injury as well as stave off degenerative bone diseases like osteoporosis. But increasing muscle mass and strength can also prevent chronic diseases that are seemingly unrelated to your ability to do bicep curls and squats. Stronger muscles aid your metabolism, which makes sense if you think about the fact that one of the main functions of metabolism is to get fuel to those muscles. One 2013 study found that bigger, stronger muscles actually combated insulin resistance and prevented the development of type 2 diabetes in mice. Our view on the use of animals in medical research is linked here. The need to maintain muscle mass becomes more critical as you age because muscle loss occurs naturally with aging. As much as it pains me to write this, muscles start deteriorating in your 30s. Between ages 40 and 60, most people lose an average of 8% of their muscle mass every decade. After 60, the loss typically accelerates at an even faster rate. Let's drive home this seriousness of muscle loss by using its scary medical name, sarcopenia, from the Greek sarco meaning flesh and penia meaning poverty. Studies show that sarcopenia comes with many health consequences. People get diseases sooner, move less easily, and can die earlier. Muscle strength and mass are even associated with a lower risk of cognitive decline and dementia. So leg day may actually turn out to be brain day. So what are some of the best ways to build muscle? How do you build muscle? I know this is Food Revolution Network, but I've got to start by telling you that you probably can't build much muscle in the kitchen unless you're lifting weights in there or have the world's heaviest cast iron pans. The best way to grow your muscles, here's another sciencey word, hypertrophy, to describe that phenomenon, is through exercise, and in particular, the kind of exercise known as resistance training. Resistance training is any physical activity that causes the muscles to work against some opposing force, like a weight. There are two main varieties, isometric and isotonic. Isometric exercises keep joints still while the muscle group strains against the resistance. Examples of isometric exercises include planks, wall sits, held yoga poses, and so on. In other words, your muscles are working or you collapse downward because that's where gravity wants you. Isotonic exercises involve moving muscle groups against some resistance. Examples include push-ups, sit-ups, and lifting weights. You can combine isometric and isotonic training by, for example, resting at the top of a push-up before going down again, or holding a squat near the bottom for a few seconds before straightening your legs. Do you have to use heavy weights? Many people believe that for weight training to effectively build strength and mass, you need to lift heavy weights, hence the oft-repeated though misleading saying, no pain, no gain. But in one recent study linked here, people in their middle age who opted for lifting lighter weights gained as much strength and muscle growth as those who favored significantly heavier weights. These findings challenge the prevailing notions in the fitness community, which often advocate that only substantial weights can yield effective results. As well, there is another groundbreaking research study linked here, which stands as the most comprehensive meta-analytical review on resistance training to date. Remarkably, it found that there isn't a singular superior way to lift weights. It doesn't matter whether people engaged in routines featuring heavy or light weights, nor if they engaged in frequent or infrequent sessions and sets. Everyone experienced marked enhancements in muscular strength and mass, regardless of their age or gender, if they put in the time. These findings highlight the universal efficacy of resistance training in sculpting a stronger, more muscular physique for anyone committed to the process. Unfortunately for the couch potatoes of the world, however, just thinking about the gym or buying a gym membership or even walking in the front door and buying a smoothie doesn't help all by itself. You have to actually use the weights. How hypertrophy works. Let's get back to that term hypertrophy, which, remember, is the fancy word for muscle growth and not a high-strung, gold-plated figure on a pedestal, and examine what has to happen biochemically for it to occur. To put it simply, resistance training grows muscle cells, first by damaging them and allowing them to recover, and then by repairing them. When you use muscles beyond their current capacity, they respond by sustaining micro tears. Then, during recovery, your body repairs these tears with combinations of proteins and hormones to help them grow back bigger and stronger. This is known as adaptation. It's like your muscles are going, wowza, that load was uncomfortably heavy. We'd better grow stronger just in case an even bigger challenge comes along next week. And the key trigger of adaptation is volume, the total weight lifted during a given exercise. The higher your volume, all other things being equal, the more hypertrophy and the stronger and bigger your muscles become. Load also matters. There's evidence that fewer repetitions of heavier weights cause more micro tears and leads to greater hypertrophy, although experts caution that this shouldn't be your only style of workout. Frequency is also important. Working your muscles on a regular basis and changing up the specific exercises enhances muscular adaptation and thereby facilitates them growing stronger. Diet and muscle growth. So resistance training is the first step in building muscles, but as we've just seen, muscles don't get built when we lift weights or hold planks. Rather, that's where they get torn down. Muscles rebuild and grow during recovery with the basic recipe of rest plus nutrition. The food you eat gets turned into the proteins and hormones that grow your muscles and lead to adaptation, as well as the energy required to fuel the process and to allow you to repeat workouts again and again. Food has a lot of different jobs to do when it comes to building muscle, and one of the most important is to provide amino acids to replace the ones damaged during exercise. The macronutrient source of amino acids is our pal protein. That's why athletes need lots of protein. But while protein is necessary, there are many other nutrients that also contribute to muscle growth, and too much of the wrong kind of protein can actually damage your health and reduce your longevity. The role of protein in building muscle. When you consume foods that contain protein, you digest them into their component amino acids, which your body uses as the building blocks for various tissues, enzymes, and hormones that keep you going. In the context of resistance training, protein is necessary for muscle building and repair to occur after exercises are complete. And eating protein shortly after exercising has been shown to support muscle synthesis, although researchers disagree on both the optimal amount of protein and the timing window that leads to the best results. On the other hand, eating too much protein, or more than your body needs, can lead to a variety of health issues linked here, potentially shortening your life. Excess protein is associated with an increased risk of heart disease and stroke, and your body lacks a mechanism for storing protein, unlike carbohydrates, which get stored as glycogen, and fats, which get stored as fat. So if you consume more protein than your body can use, it either gets broken down for energy or converted into fat, and both processes can be hard on your body. The majority of people eating the modern industrialized diet are already eating too much protein, and many of them are doing so based on the erroneous belief that if some protein is good, then more must be better. To calculate how much protein you actually need, follow the steps in this comprehensive article on plant-based protein linked here. You just listened to Building Muscle on a Plant-Based Diet, The Best Foods and Nutrients to Eat, Part 1 by Ocean Robbins at foodrevolution.org. and I'm your host, Marian Erickson. Tune in tomorrow for the second half of this article, where you'll hear why animal protein may not be the best for your health, how muscle growth is impacted also by B vitamins, carbs, and fat, a supplement you might want to consider, some of the best foods to build muscle, and some recipe ideas. So please share this episode with anyone who might benefit, and thanks for listening.